together and, oh, Tim's not here. Hey, while Tim comes up here, I have to tell you something. I have dreamed about this for a year, and it still has not happened. See, Tim and I are both cheapskates in some things. And one of those things is clothing. We really don't care that much what we have. So we do these Walmart special things. And we both, 2 years ago, found at Walmart this plaid shirt thing. And we have never worn them on the same day. And I thought you guys must think we pass it back and forth.
Yeah, right?
It's that red and black plaid thing, you know. And I thought maybe we would do it together, and we both forgot again. So, sorry. Wait another year. Maybe next year.
I kind of like it.
Next year.
All right, guys. Welcome. You are privileged to participate in our annual State of the Church address.
Woo!
This is it. This is it. And, guys, one thing we always need to be conscious of is that the church is really an oddity in the world landscape. The church is not a club. It's not some sort of a secret society. Really, it's not even quite an organization, though it has organizational elements. The church is God's thing. It's God. It belongs to Him. A powerful verse we always need to be mindful of is that the church is described by Jesus in Matthew 16. It says, "I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it." The church is His thing. It's His body. It's His bride. It's His people. So when we talk about the church, it's near and dear to God's heart. And God has a purpose and a plan for His church. This purpose, of which we are immersed in, is described in two passages in the Bible. One of them is in Matthew chapter 22. It says, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" Jesus replied, and here it is. This is our purpose. "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments."
Amen. And the other verse that we gain our direction, our life direction from, is also in Matthew 28. You might have heard this before. "Then Jesus came to them and said, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I'm with you always to the end of the age.'" So what we'd like to do here first is to review last year along the lines of these two passages. There are five purposes that we glean from these two passages. Number one is love the Lord your God with all your heart. That is worship. That is our heart of worship. Purpose number two, love your neighbor as yourself. That would be our ministry, how we serve one another. Purpose number three is to go and to make disciples. That would be evangelism, obviously, how we share this gospel with others. Purpose number four is baptizing them, which baptize means to place into, and so we adapt from that fellowship, a placing into this family. And purpose number five, teaching them to obey, not to learn, to obey. In the Old Testament, in Deuteronomy 6, Moses said, "This is my will that you learn people." That's bad English, but it means you teach until they learn it. That's what making disciples is about. So let me pray, and we'll jump into this review. Father, we thank you that you have a purpose, and you've defined it, and you make it known to us. So I pray this morning, as we review together what you've done, as we think together about what you're going to do, that you give us a unity of spirit here in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Okay, guys, we're going to look back at 2016. The first purpose was to love the Lord your God with all your heart. Worship. Well, how'd we do? Or you should reflect on that personally. How did you do at loving God last year? Well, we lost the gifts that Webb and Stephen brought to our church, those gifts that God used to kindle our hearts aflame Sunday by Sunday. We lost that. And we prayed that God would replace them, but to date, he has not. What he has done is he's given us Luke. Thank yeah. God for Luke, wow. who really stepped it up this last year. And he was the man every Sunday. I mean, he got but a few reprieves. Otherwise, he had to plan, prepare, and pull off praise and worship every Sunday. Guys, that's a demanding task. And by God's grace, he has also brought a compatriot. Lance is now also playing with Luke. So guys, for these two guys, where's Lance? Oh, there he is. For these two guys, let's give it up. Thank you. Thank you. Now, it was mentioned at Faith Walkers that God's love language is obedience. And what came crashing to mind when I thought of last year, and I thought, well, did anyone obey the Lord in something that was rather difficult? I thought about the seven souls that obeyed the Lord in baptism last year. Seven people. Here they are. It was Julie Beckman, Judy Hack, Todd Hilberg overcame huge obstacles to get baptized, Natalie Schmalzried as well, Jay McGee, Ariana Borseth, she did it over fear, Stephen Lake, and then I also had the honor of baptizing two people in Nepal. And so if I count those two, we had nine people that obeyed the Lord in baptism last year. So again, another hand for these guys.
Yeah!
Good job. Good job. All in all, our poster child for obedience, loving the Lord so passionately that he was quick to obey is, of course, he's already been mentioned, Jay McGee.
Yeah, boy, Jay.
Is our poster child. And so we would like to give to Jay the Heart for God Award. He gets our annual Heart for God Award. Whoop, whoop. I'm so excited I knocked that up. Good job, big guy. Good job. You don't need to come up. We have a lot to do. We have a lot to share. I appreciate it, buddy. You're awesome. There you go. There you go, big guy. It's tough to hold him back, guys. It's tough to hold him back.
Yeah.
We love you, Jay. Thank you. You're a blessing to our church.
Amen. Amen. Then we go to purpose number two, loving your neighbor. What a challenge we've had this year. You know, we kind of feel like maybe we didn't shepherd this really well, our small groups and our men's group. But to be honest, it's a little bit difficult. We lost 11 regular members this year. Remember Webb and Stephen? They've been mentioned. Cole and Selena and the Biedermans. Zach, Steve, Jennifer, Timothy, Darcy, all were regular here, and they're gone. And we feel it. You know, it hurts. It hurts. Luke has mentioned this before. On this side of eternity, an awful lot of goodbyes. One of our granddaughters cannot handle it. Anytime we're saying goodbye, she freaks out. I get that. So What we'd like to do here is just for a few moments, give us a time of silence. And one thing you can be doing as you're thinking about these, Cole, Selena, and Webb, and Stephen, and the rest, just pray that God would give them well-being, that God would lead them. If the Holy Spirit is in them, we believe He is, He can guide them. He can speak to them. So would you do that? Just mourn, be grateful, pray for them. And Father, we recognize that 30 seconds is hardly a time for mourning enough. We are grateful that you say that you put people in the body just the way you want to. And so we were privileged to have these different ones with us for a good long time. And of course it hurts when they're gone. We together ask you to chase them down and do them good. Not that they're running from you, but we ask you to find them and bring them to a more complete relationship with you day by day. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hey guys, our third purpose for the church is also God's response to losing precious souls in various ways last year, and that is to go and make disciples. And God was kind. Last year, we saw a healthy number of people profess faith in Jesus Christ. Last year, at least that we're aware of, 10 people in Decorah made a good and sure profession of faith in Jesus Christ. 5 of those 10 are with us. They're with our body. Those would be, starting off, the first one was in January of last year. Stephen Lake decided, hey, I want in. You know, this idea of living forever, I like that. And so he put his faith in Christ, and he kicked things off. After that, Jay McGee believed on Christ. I have down Julie as praying and receiving Christ in some form or fashion during the Easter service. Somehow you and we had another gal that was with us. What's her name? Andrea Strand had both indicated, hey, I want to believe in Jesus for real. Patrick Lynch. And this Mary's a friend of Jay. You may have met her a few times. She's actually wanting to be a regular with us come this summer. And so she's working out life arrangements so that she can be a regular part of our church. But those 5, Stephen, Jay, Julie, Patrick, and Mary, it is so good to have you guys with us. So praise the Lord. In Nepal, Rex and I went there with a team of 5 others. And in the course of 1 week, we saw 19 professions of faith in Christ. And these are among people who were raised primarily Hindu, though there were some Muslims. And of those 19, 5 of them obeyed the Lord in baptism immediately. So last year, our Nepal mission trip was a huge success. But evangelism isn't just about getting professions. Otherwise, we could really be playing a guilt trip on people, pressuring people just to get them to make a profession. It's not about that exclusively. It's about spreading the seed of the good news, the gospel, on human hearts, letting that good news be heralded across the land. And we did that once again last year, our presence at the county fair, and at the Nordic Fest Parade, I think, went to a whole new level last year. What the Mosher family did and what Trudy did with the Nordic Fest float, I mean, it was huge. And Trudy, of course, I got to give an honorable mention to Natalie and Bo, played a huge role in making that float happen. I think that this year at the fair and at the fest, we had the clearest, most creative, most powerful presentation of the gospel that we've ever had. And so, to honor the Mosher family and Shudi for their hard work, we would like to give you the Servant of God Award, or I called it the Heart of a Servant Award. So guys, come on up and receive your awards. for having a heart of a servant. You're welcome. Really, we're just trying to butter him up to do it again next year.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh. Our effort, one last thing on this, go and make disciples. Our effort last year to have each one reach one and thereby double the size of our church, we put that out there last year. Well, that didn't happen. And it wasn't as a result of the lack of faith on any one person's part, but because we began to realize over the course of last year that the biblical emphasis is on reaching the world through the community of the church. It takes a church to reach a city for Christ. All of us working together, not exclusively on the merits of an individual, though individuals may have the gift of evangelism and therefore see more fruit. You know, the scriptures tell us, Jesus said, that the whole world will know that you are my disciples by your love for one another. There's only one way that the world would be able to notice our love for one another, and that's when they see us together, whether it's on a Sunday morning or on a Friday night or wherever we're at. When we're doing it together and our unbelieving friends see that, they'll be like, okay, now that's different. What is it that makes you guys not only like each other, but love each other? And that's our opportunity to point them to Christ. So anyway, I'm getting ahead of myself. We made that adjustment late last year. We want to, of course, carry that through this next year. But that's
very good. And that sort of leads into the next point. The purpose number four was baptizing them or placing them into fellowship. Basically, us together as one, like Tim is talking about. We've already talked about baptism by water, but what about baptism into our family, into our community? As part of our identity series, we talked last year again about membership. We did a membership Sunday again, led up to a membership Sunday. Had several who signed new commitment cards. This is my family. But you know, the real proof of whether you're really a member here is, are you trustworthy? Are you available? Are you a regular participant? And you could ask yourself, how would other people view me? They see me that way? That's the real test. Well, last year we wanted to increase our love and our respect for one another, and boy, did we have opportunities to do so. We had a lot of them. And honestly, you all are to be commended. You did very well in this. It was a tough year, as we've mentioned, for all of us. Maybe Julie, maybe you the most, needing to move three different times and hardships in between. But no matter how many times Julie needed help, you all were there. You are to be commended. You did well. And that's true in other ways as well. There are other needs. The Moshers move. That was... don't ever let Thelma pick the day that you move.
That's
never,
right.
Never. You decide that yourself. It will go much better for you. Their move and some financial needs. We had a lot of financial needs amongst us here. We had an untimely birth a couple months early. Tim put down here watching pets.
Well, you know.
Yeah. I get that.
It's greatly appreciated.
Yeah. But you're to be commended. You really have loved one another, and you're going to need that practice for what's coming. There will be more. There will be more need. We'll talk about that a little bit later.
And our last reflection from last year deals with our teaching them to obey, discipleship, making disciples. Guys, we were entrusted with a lot of truth last year. We started off with our identity in Christ series. We called it Making All Things New, lifted from what Jesus is quoted of saying in the book of Revelation, making all things new. We did a family life series about marriage and dating. We talked about, we had a Great Commission Heroes series. You remember that? Where we brought in these great guys, Mark Darling and Mark Bowen and Jeremy Darling. It's like, wow, why are we so blessed? It's amazing. That Great Commission Heroes series was huge. We had a Meaty Matters series. We talked about holiness, humility, and harmony. There's a lot of truth dumping there. And on top of that, we had good Bible studies going. We had a noon study. We had a Luther College study that ended when Webb and Stephen graduated. We had a women's Bible study that came to a close as others moved on as well from the women's Bible study. We started a Thursday Bible study over at Jay's place, as Jay would have it no other way. and then we ended the year with 15 souls going to Faith Walkers. And someone tabulated that that the number of teachings that a person could be exposed to at Faith Walkers would amount to having 4 months of church. You got 4 months worth of teaching on 3 days, 2.5 days. That's a lot. What a blessed people we are. And the scriptures say, to whom much has been given, much will be required.
Amen. So, just summarizing our look back, it was a tough year for us. We lost 11 members, and it hurt us in a lot of ways. One of the ways that it hurt us, by the way, is in our finances. And we've put on your chairs kind of monthly-ish a statement of how we're doing relative to where we have budgeted that we would be at. Remember those? About every month we've only done it twice, but that's our idea, is about once a month. But I just wanted to update you a little bit. This year has been, and we understand why we lost 11 precious people, but we're at or near the lowest in our offering that we've ever been. And we have sort of a bare bones budget. There's really not a lot of flex that we can do. But we are, I looked at it, we're about $268 per week below what we would need in order to be at budget, okay? So we have to manage this. We have to look over it. And we have picked a level of bank balance at which we're going to need to do something a little bit more drastic. We'll talk about that in a little bit here. But if our present offering continued, we would be at that threshold point about March 1st. Two more months. However, God is so good. He is so aware of our circumstances, and He prompted, we didn't do a single thing on earth anyway, there were some prayers, but He prompted a couple, a generous couple, to give us $5,000 right at the end of the year. And so what that means is, even if our offering continues at about $268 below par, we can last until about July. I can't remember if it's the beginning or the end of July. So we kind of have a half a year here to just be before God and say, God, this is yours. How can I be a part of it? Bless Lifehouse Church.
So then you ask yourself, well, how am I supposed to respond to this? I mean, who is? We've got a financial loss here, and at our present course, at best, we'll be meeting at this location till the end of July. Well, the ship is sinking. Let's go someplace else that's got some more solvency. No. No, this situation tells us something. It tells us who it is that's going to see God do something great in Decorah. Just like He refined Gideon's army, and those that remained got to see God do a miraculous victory. We believe you are the ones who are going to be the ones who will see firsthand God do something new in this church and in Northeast Iowa. We honestly believe that. I love this quote by G.K. Chesterton, and it says, "Christianity has died many times and risen again, for it had a God who knew the way out of the grave." I believe that. Also, during my Bible study with Jay, we came across this verse in Acts 13, and it really gave me a vision for this year. It says, "God removed Saul and replaced him with David, a man about whom God said, 'I have found David, son of Jesse, a man after my own heart. He will do everything I want him to do.' And after David had done the will of God in his own generation, he died and was buried with his ancestors." Guys, as long as there's breath in your lungs, God has a purpose and a plan for your life. He is not done with you yet. And you get to see God use you to accomplish his purposes in your generation. With that bit of truth to inspire us, here are some thoughts that we're thinking about for this coming year.
So, looking forward now, we still have a mission to accomplish. We still have the Great Commandment. We still have the Great Commission. How we do this, how we fulfill it, may have to be adjusted a little bit according to our situation. But the first purpose is still to love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. And a major part of this connection is prayer. And prayer is going to be one of our major focuses this year. I really believe that God wants to, the reason that he's given us the avenue of prayer is to help us to cultivate our hearts. In Luke 18, Jesus said, "When the Son of Man returns, will he find faith on the earth?" He said that right after he told them that they should pray. And we are going to pray this year. We're going to have quarterly all-church prayer meetings. The first one will be Sunday evening, January 22nd. It'll be at Patty's in my place. And then we're kind of going to bop it around a new house every quarter. They'll go from 7 to 9. You can still get home, get the kids to bed for school. And then this one has been developing our King's Men prayer time. Some of us have been praying on Tuesday mornings. It's shifting now to Thursday morning. All you guys, you prayers, Thursday morning, 6:45 at my place, so Luke can be with us also. This is incredibly important. When Paul wrote Timothy about how to conduct church, he said, first of all, I want the males to pray, lifting up holy hands without wrath and dissension. That is, you're not in competition, guys. Pray to the one who can answer. Pray. So this is going to be probably the kingpin in my thinking is us men praying. I'm expecting by the end of the year to be 7 to 9 men praying. And then on Sunday mornings, the last area of prayers, we're going to find a way to devote about 5 minutes on a Sunday morning to prayer. All right, two Sundays. I get it. Thank you. Yep.
Yep. I just texted Jay to make sure he knew.
All right, yeah.
Okay. Purpose number two is to love your neighbor as yourself. I'd like to ask guys to awkwardly look at each other. Right now, kind of look around. Yep, kind of eyeball each other. Okay, kind of look around. What you're seeing is the church, the bride of Christ, his beloved. And God commands us to love one another like Christ loved the church. He really loves the church. And he commands us to love each other like he loved us. Guys, you know these things. You've heard these things before. I would like to contextualize it a bit for you. For 6 years now, we've been in existence and we've consistently attracted people who are in desperate conditions. Oftentimes they're in debt or they're discontent for various reasons. It has caused Bob and I to think of the scripture in 1 Samuel, where it says this: every man who was desperate, in debt, or discontented rallied around David, and he became their leader. About 400 men, there's a lot of discontent people, were with him. Guys, when I phrase people like this, this is what needs to come to your mind. Oh, I don't know who you're talking about. Maybe you do. These are the people that can provoke an ill or repulsive feeling in your stomach when you see them walk in. You kind of wish they weren't there. You'd kind of like to keep your distance from them a bit. You know, we kind of keep our own record of wrongs, of the annoying things that they do to justify you keeping your distance from them. Well, that kind of attitude has got to come to an end. And it's not simply because Scripture commands us so. You see, Bob and I are becoming convinced that these types of people are the people, it's the culture that God wants our church to reach. It's the disabled, the labeled, the judged class of humanity. Many, though not all, but many of these people find an escape in video games. But not all, but many do. It's a place where they can have some measure of control in their lives. It's a place where they can feel significant for once in their life. These are the type of people that I'm talking about. Now, the video game world, we know it. It's not real. It's fun, but it's not real. God is real. His church is real. What God offers is real. You're real. I'm real. And I believe that God wants us, He wants to make it our mission to show compassion for the people that the world rejects. And it's not going to be easy. If we're right, it's not going to be easy. At Faith Walker, Mike Whitney did a message entitled, "Bring a Great Attitude to Church." And in it, he challenged us to transform our attitude into a do-itude. You guys remember that, the do-itude? You need to do what's right. Sometimes, as you do what's right, as you do what God commands, then the attitude follows. But you got to do what's right. You've got to love when you don't want to. You've got to hug when you don't feel like it. You've got to care. You've got to sacrifice when you'd prefer not to. That's the do-itude that we're talking about. To change your first impulse when you see that person walk through the door to be one of joy. To put a smile on your face and be glad that they're here. What we need to do is to communicate to one another that we're committed to each other. We're committed. This means being someone that they can count on. They can count on me. You can count on me. Kind of attitude. Pastor Jeff Wyman said at Faith Walkers, "Our success is determined by whether or not you are committed to your fellow believers for life." And I believe he's right. 2017 will be our test. Can we change our attitude into a do-itude? Some have even suggested the idea that we could be a gamer church, a church for those who have otherwise found their lost their lives in video games or other types of games. Whether that's the case or not, God wants us to rise up and show compassion to the people that the world preferred didn't exist. Welcome to Life.
And really, that is evangelism, which is our next purpose. We already stated this, you know, that we have, instead of each one reach one, we are understanding God wants to use us as a community in reaching our own friends. Bring them in, or go there as a group. So what this looks like is different ones of us having people over to our home, having some believers, and having some others join, and having them just watch what goes on. Having them watch courtesy, having them watch our good nature, having them watch us have fun. This is what they need. The gospel is effective because it's good. And unbelievers need to see the good of our relationships. And then the other thing that we have thought about is doing, about monthly, doing events that we've planned, things like the Super Bowl party. You know, the Super Bowl is occurring because we want to have this party. That's why it's happening. Super Bowl, yeah. So bring friends. And here's another idea we've kicked around. A free Valentine's dinner for this internationals. Many of us are hosts to international students. It's kind of hard to get a hold of them. They're so busy over there. But we thought if we give them a free dinner on Valentine's Day or thereabouts, maybe that weekend, maybe we could get them all to come and be with us. Let them watch. And the other ideas are a hot chocolate or tea ministry to Luther, like you stand in a corner and just hand out hot chocolate to kids that live off campus and are going in. What are you doing that for? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Nepal mission trip has been canceled for the year, but one thing we kicked around was maybe going up to the urban refuge. Our youth group down at Stonebrook did this 2 or 3 years. We went up there for, what's it called? Mission to the City, I think. Yep, Mission to the City. And it really is a mixer. You end up on many localities. We did a Walmart thing. We did a thing in the park, and it's all serving food. It's just serving and serving and serving. They provide all the food. You just show up and interact. It's really a riot. It's a time to rub shoulders with a lot of people. And the gospel is pretty easily shared. Not everybody is at the table all the time. Anyway, that's one opportunity. Of course, we still got the county fair and Nordic Fest. And we're not assuming that because those who served last year did such a good job that they will serve again. We won't do it unless somebody heads it up. So this falls on all of us to decide who wants to head up the county fair and or Nordic Fest. And then we've been talking about this on the Friday night. I know this in person. You can go over to Games XP, and there are people there. About 20 to 25 young people there. And you do two things. You interact with them as you can. Some of us know nothing about playing games, that kind of game anyway. Nothing. You just go anyway, because you will know somebody else who's there, and they watch. They watch. They watch, and they watch. That's the ticket. They will know and become curious when they watch us.
Amen to that. Okay, purpose number 4, baptizing them. Guys, if we can genuinely grow in purpose number 2, to love your neighbor as yourself, then we will grow in purpose number 4, to baptize them, to bring them into the fellowship. But if we don't grow in our commitment to the church, and that is reflected in our giving, well, then we will no longer be able to afford to rent this facility. facility. We've been over that. We are prepared. If the Lord puts us in that spot, we are prepared to go to a house church model, meeting in two different homes here in Decorah until God so chooses to breathe and bless that. And so that may be the case if things don't turn around for our church financially. Okay? But right now, we got good 7 months for us to obey and believe and to watch and see what God does. So really, the baptizing them is we're going to have, you know, this could get rough. 2017 could get rough as we break down to two separate groups meeting in two different homes. But we're not there yet. Let's stick together. Let's do this. And we will see God bless with new life in Lifehouse Church.
Amen. And lastly, teaching them to obey. This is just sort of a favorite of mine. I love to think about all of you a year down the road, thinking about new concepts being put into practice. But this year, we're going to start, I think you maybe mentioned this already, apologetics, yeah, you mentioned it at the beginning. The teaching series we're going to start is called I Am Convinced. It's from 2 Timothy, where Paul said in a couple of ways, things that he was convinced of. This is the end of his life. He's telling Timothy why he lived the way he did, because of things he was convinced of. We have a lot of activity working against us. Friday night at the game store, I heard more falsehood than I have heard in many months, in 2 hours. People live according to falsehood. You think it doesn't have an effect? It has an effect. So we are going to teach first four series, basically. They're each mini-series. First, the existence of God, and it's entitled, God is for Real. Secondly, the inerrancy of the Bible. The title is, God's Word is His Bond. You can count on Him. Third one, the identity of Christ, and is entitled, Jesus, Our Superhero. And then the last one, Christianity is the one true religion. It's entitled, The World Cannot Live Without the Church. And so as we look ahead, we are really excited and filled with hope. I just want to summarize our forward look in this way. I was at one teaching, I think it was Dan Rude, who just as part of his teaching said that 10 years ago, I learned that there may be 60 billion galaxies like ours. Dan said in his teaching that the Deep Field Hubble scope now sees maybe 200 billion galaxies like ours. We have about 100 billion stars in our galaxy. And then he said, it may be off by tenfold. When you put the zeros together, this means that there are 2 heptillion stars, perhaps. Here's my point. God made them. About 5 words in the Old Testament say, He made the stars also. He made them. This is the kind of believing that I am expecting God to bring into us. We know we're desperate. We know we live among desperate people. God is not limited. He just needs us to recite that back to Him. He just needs us to cultivate our hearts to expect Him to use us in His work. That's what I'm expecting.
Jesus had this unusual, kind of an upside-down worldview. And one of them was that what the world considered to be the least, the despised, the rejected, those are the ones who are greatest in the kingdom of God. And God's been freshly challenging me to love the least of these. And so when I think about our plans for the future, 2017, what's it going to hold in store? I would summarize it by saying, I'm all in to love those that are hard to love. Those who are the least of these in the eyes of men, I'm all in. And I know it will be a drain. I know it will be hard. So I'm going to have to definitely stay connected to the vine. But I'm all in. And I would love to have you join me. Lord Jesus, we are but men. We do not know what the future holds. But we know who holds the future. Lord Jesus, this is not our idea. It's not our thing. It's yours. And so we come to you freshly as humbled men and women. And we recognize that you've got a will, a purpose, and a plan for Lifehouse Church. And we want to follow you. Followers of Christ, that's what Christians are. If we claim to be a Christian, we need to follow Jesus. Not our own instincts. Not what we hear on the radio or TV or a movie. We're followers of Christ. And may we follow you this coming year. In these five purposes of the church, may we be all in. And watch what a mighty God can do when but a few believe you with all of our heart and soul and mind and strength. Help us. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. And Peter, if you have some background music, we're going to take our offering at this time and